Welcome to the Deep Dive. We take complex topics, often from recent studies, and really try to distill the core insights for you.
And today, we're looking at something fundamental for democracy, the health of its media.
Exactly. Specifically, we're taking a trip, metaphorically speaking, to the microstate of Liechtenstein. It's small, yes, but it's facing a huge crisis right now.
It really is. It's a fascinating, if worrying, case study. Because Liechtenstein has this very strong tradition of direct democracy.
Right. So the citizens themselves vote on laws initiative.
Precisely. And for that to work, people absolutely need access to independent, reliable information. Without it, that direct democratic model just, well, it breaks down.
And breaks down feels like the right phrase here. Mm. We're basing this on the October 2025 study, Journalism in the Microstate, and it paints a pretty stark picture of recent events. It's not just a slow drift. It's been dramatic.
Oh, absolutely dramatic. I mean, think about it. In 2023, the country's oldest newspaper, the Liechtensteiner Volksblatt, gone. Just closed its doors. Yeah. Financial insolvency.
Wow, the oldest one.
Yeah. But then, maybe even more shocking, was what happened with Radio Liechtenstein earlier this year, April 2025. It also ceased operations.
And that wasn't just a financial decision, was it? This was the public broadcaster.
Exactly. It was essentially, well, de-elected by the people. There was a public vote back in October 2024.
A vote on the radio station.
On the law providing its state funding. And 55.4% of voters said no, repeal the law, stop the funding.
Why? What was the main reason?
The cost. The perception was that the state contribution, the taxpayer money needed to keep it afloat, was just too high. Imagine that a public service voted out of existence because of its reliance on state funds.
That's pretty extraordinary, almost unprecedented. So, okay, our mission today, unpack these twin pressures hitting Liechtenstein. There's the microstate problem just being tiny, and then the global digital disruption everyone's facing.
And then we need to look at the solutions proposed in the study. They put forward a four-pillar strategy aiming for a sort of future-proof liberal media policy.
Before we get to solutions, we have to mention the current landscape. With the Volksblatt gone and the radio silenced, who's left?
Well, the dominant player now is the Vaduzer Medienhaus. They publish the main remaining newspaper, Vaterland.
But there are issues there too, right? Concerns about influence?
Big concerns. Its ownership structure is tied to a political party foundation, the Stiftung Vaterlandische Union. So naturally, questions arise about partisanship.
Even if they try to be neutral.
They state they aim to be a forum newspaper, open to different views. But yeah, that political link in the ownership makes it tough to shake the perception of bias. It's a real challenge for them and for media plurality in the country.
Okay, crucial context. So let's step back. Why does media even need help? Why can't the market just sort it out? Let's talk about those basic functions media performs.
Right. These are like the baseline requirements in any functioning democracy. First, there's the forum's function. Media needs to provide that space, that platform for public discourse, for debate, for opinions to form.
A public square, essentially.
Kind of, yeah. Then there's the control function. This is the watchdog role, keeping an eye on politicians, on the administration, uncovering wrongdoing.
The famous fourth estate.
That's the one. And third, the integration function. Media should cover issues that bind society together, that cut across divides, helping to, you know, counter polarization and build common ground.
Okay, essential functions. But again, the market question. If people value this, won't they just pay for it? Buy the newspaper, subscribe online?
But that's where the classic market failure comes in. Especially for the high-quality investigative stuff, control function type of journalism, it's incredibly expensive to produce.
Takes time, resources, legal cover sometimes.
Exactly. But the benefits, they spill over to everyone. Economists call these positive externalities, where they say quality journalism has public good characteristics.
Okay, can you give us a concrete example? How does a positive externality work with a newspaper story?
Sure. Imagine a newspaper spends months investigating government corruption and publishes a big exposé. The cost to the newspaper is huge, but the benefit uncovering the corruption, leading to perhaps resignations or reforms, making government cleaner that benefits all citizens.
Whether they bought that specific paper or not.
Precisely. You benefit just by living in a better governed society because of that report. You can't exclude people from that benefit. And the newspaper can't possibly charge everyone in the country for the value created. The price of the paper captures only a tiny fraction of the overall societal value.
So the incentive for the newspaper to invest heavily in that costly journalism is weak, because they can't fully monetize the good they create.
Exactly. The market underprovides it. And then you layer on the Liechtenstein specifics, the microstate multiplier effect.
With only, what, 41,000 inhabitants?
Just about 41,000. That tiny scale magnifies all the problems. You have a scarcity of resources for production, fewer journalists, smaller teams. The potential audience, the user market, is tiny.
And the advertising market must be minuscule.
Absolutely. Big companies aren't going to spend serious ad money to reach just 41,000 people. So making a profit without some form of external help, like cross-subsidies or state money, is basically impossible for quality media.
You also mentioned high social proximity in the outline. What does that mean in practice?
It means everyone knows everyone, or feels like they do. If you're a journalist, the politician you need to investigate might be your neighbor, or you might see them at the local bakery every morning.
That sounds awkward and potentially risky for your career.
It creates immense pressure for self-censorship. Do you write the really critical story if it means alienating powerful people you interact with daily in a place with very limited other job options for journalists? It dampens critical reporting and affects the overall quality. Plus, talent tends to leave for bigger markets.
And on top of all that, they face the same digital storm as everyone else. Google, Facebook, sucking up ad revenue.
Yep. Same global pressures, but with none of the scale to absorb the shock. Which brings us back to the funding dependency. Let's look at those 2024 numbers the study provides.
Okay, how much state money was actually involved?
The total state funding for media was 4.4 million Swiss francs. Now that sounds like a lot, but it was only about 0.5% of total state spending.
Half a percent, but crucial for the recipients, I imagine.
Absolutely, lifeblood. The Rita Liechtenstein, the one voted out. Between 2020 and 2023, state funds made up somewhere between 78% and 85% of its entire gross revenue. Hugely dependent.
Wow. And what about the remaining big player, the Vaduzer Medienhaus, publisher of Weiderland?
They received the lion's share, 86% of the state funding that went to private media outlets. And here's the kicker from the study.
Yeah.
Without that state media funding, the Vaduzer Medienhaus would be running at a significant loss. They only show a positive financial result because of that public support.
So the main private newspaper, the one citizens rely on, is financially dependent on the state it's supposed to be holding accountable. That's a conflict.
It's the core dilemma, which leads us straight into the risks of state intervention. We know the market fails, but state help brings its own set of problems, what the study calls the risk of state failure.
Right. It's not just free money with no strings attached. What are the main dangers?
Well, first, state funding can easily distort competition. It tends to favor the established players, making it harder for new voices or innovative startups to emerge.
Entrenches the incumbents?
Exactly. And worse, there's the risk of political influence. The study uses the German phrase Tummelplatz für politische Einflussnahme.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, media policy becomes a playground for political maneuvering.
So funding decisions based on political favoritism rather than journalistic merit, clientelism.
That's the fear.
Yeah.
Media owners might become reliant on staying in the good graces of politicians. And there's also the takeaway effect, public money just subsidizing stuff that would have been produced anyway, which is inefficient.
So how did the study approach finding a good solution, avoiding these pitfalls? They didn't just guess, right?
No, they were very systematic. They looked at 16 different potential funding models, everything from pure private philanthropy to creating entirely new public service entities.
16 models. That's comprehensive.
And they evaluated each one against 7 specific criteria. This is important because it forces you to think about the trade-offs. You often can't maximize everything at once.
Okay, what were these 7 criteria? They sound key to understanding the final proposal.
Right, they were.
Yeah.
1, media and opinion diversity pluralism, does it help create more voices? 2, journalistic quality, does it support professional standards? 3, targeted market failure correction, does it actually fix the specific economic problem and does it reach the audience?
Okay.
4, channel independence, is it neutral about print, online, audio, video? 5, competition neutrality, does it treat different players fairly? 6, independence of the media, crucially, from both the state and powerful private interests. And finally, 7, costs and efficiency, how much does it cost, and is it bureaucratic?
Looking at that list, especially for a microstate, I mean, ensuring both independence and competition neutrality sounds incredibly difficult when you have maybe 1 or 2 dominant players.
It is, and that's why some models scored poorly. Traditional direct subsidies, for example, often fail on competition neutrality and independence. The models that came out on top tended to be things like philanthropy and what they call democratic funding.
Why those?
Because they focused on decentralizing the funding decisions, moving them away from direct government control.
Interesting. So the final proposal from the study isn't just one model, but a mix.
Exactly. It combines elements from the best performing approaches into a kind of liberal framework. The idea is encourage private solutions first, but have targeted state action to fill the gaps the market leaves. It's built on four pillars.
Okay, let's break down these four pillars. Pillar one.
Pillar one is all about mobilizing private money, the National Alliance of Private Funders. The core idea is to set up a foundation for opinion diversity.
A foundation? Okay. Yeah. Funded how?
Not by one big donor or the state or even one political group, but by a broad alliance, ideally. Lots of different private contributors, yeah. Individuals, companies, existing foundations.
Why the alliance approach? To avoid capture by a single interest.
Precisely. If funding comes from many diverse sources, no single donor has undue influence. It aims for financial stability without creating new dependencies, whether political or commercial.
And what's the goal of this foundation? What would it actually do with the money?
The study offers two main variants here, specifically aimed at tackling that concentration problem around the Vaderland newspaper.
Okay.
Variant one is ambitious. The foundation could actually help facilitate a change in ownership for the Vaduzer Medienhaus, buy it out, essentially, to properly embed its neutrality and cut the ties to the political foundation.
Wow. Okay. That's a big step. What if that's not feasible?
Then variant two comes into play. If changing ownership isn't possible, the foundation would instead use its funds to build and support a strong, independent second voice. Maybe a new editorial team, a separate publication, something built purely on journalistic principles to ensure there's real critical pluralism available.
So pillar one tackles the private side, aiming for diversity and independence there. What about the state's role, pillar two?
Pillar two is maybe the most innovative part. Democratic media funding. This is about leveraging state funds, but minimizing political control over how they're distributed.
How does that work? Giving money directly to citizens?
Sort of. It decentralizes the decision. They suggest taking a chunk of the existing state media budget, around 1.4 million Swiss francs, which is about 50 francs per taxpayer, and letting citizens decide where it goes.
How? Through my tax return.
Exactly. When you file your taxes, you'd get to allocate your 50 franc share. You could direct it to the media organization you think provides the most value or contributes most to diversity or does the best journalism.
So I tell the government where my media support money goes, not the politicians.
That's the idea. It shifts the power and accountability directly to the citizenry. It makes media outlets answerable to the public they serve, not just the government. Even 50 francs per person adds up significantly when the total pot is 1.4 million.
That's clever.
Mm.
But couldn't that just turn into a popularity contest? Wouldn't the outlet with the most clicks or maybe the most sensational headlines just get all the money? Even if the journalism isn't great, it sounds like trading political influence for maybe populist influence.
That's a valid concern, and they thought about that. The proposal includes a crucial check and balance.
Okay.
They suggest using this citizen allocation method for only about two-thirds of that 1.4 million franc fund.
And the other third?
The remaining one-third would be distributed based on formal, objective quality criteria, things like professional standards, adherence to ethical codes, maybe investment in training. And this part would be evaluated by an independent expert commission, not the public or politicians.
Ah, I see. So you get the democratic legitimacy from the citizen allocation, but you also ensure that quality, perhaps less popular but vital journalism, still gets support through the expert evaluation, a hybrid model.
Exactly. It balances direct citizen choice with professional standards.
Smart. Okay, pillar three, innovation and competition funding. What's this about?
This is about dynamism, preventing the market from becoming stagnant, especially with one dominant player. The idea is to provide seed funding, Anschubfinanzierung, startup money specifically for new, probably digitally focused media projects.
So helping new ideas get off the ground.
Yes. Ensuring the market remains contestable, meaning new entrants actually have a chance to challenge the incumbents.
But again, how do you stop this from just being another pot of money susceptible to political favoritism or funding bad ideas?
Two key safeguards are proposed. First, funding applications wouldn't be judged by local politicians or bureaucrats. They'd be reviewed by an international expert jury.
International? Why?
For impartiality and also to bring in broader expertise on digital media trends and best practices from outside Liechtenstein's small circle.
Makes sense. And the second safeguard?
The projects must secure private co-funding. The state provides some seed money, but the project also has to convince private investors to put their own money in.
Ah, the market test. If you can't persuade private backers that your idea has some commercial legs, the state won't jump in either.
Precisely. It ensures a degree of commercial viability and further shields the process from purely political motives. The state acts as a catalyst, not a crutch for unsustainable ventures.
Okay, strategic seed funding. That leaves Pillar 4, a platform for dialogue. This sounds different. It's not funding content directly.
No, this is about infrastructure.
Yeah.
The idea is to create a publicly funded, ad-free digital platform. They suggest something like LI Forum as a name. Think of it as a neutral public utility for communication.
What would be on this platform?
It would have distinct channels. One channel specifically for official communications from authorities and the government, clear, direct information. Another channel would be for civil society groups, and importantly, for existing media outlets to distribute or promote their own content.
So media companies could use it to reach audiences.
Yes, potentially linked to their articles or broadcasts. And then a third component would be a moderated online forum space for citizens to discuss issues, share opinions.
So the platform itself doesn't create news or investigative content. It just hosts the conversation and distributes information.
Exactly. It manages the medium without controlling the message. It provides the space, streamlines official info, gives media another distribution channel, and facilitates citizen debate. But it doesn't compete with independent media on actual content creation.
That's quite clever. It takes some pressure off the media. They don't have to be the sole conduit for every government announcement, but leaves the critical reporting and analysis firmly in their hands.
That's the goal. It improves transparency and access, but relies on transparent funding and clear moderation rules itself to avoid becoming just a government mouthpiece. The independent media remain the crucial players for accountability.
So looking at these four pillars together, what really strikes me is how this crisis in tiny Liechtenstein highlights such a universal problem: the cost of good journalism versus its necessity for democracy.
Absolutely. It's a microcosm of the global challenge.
And the solution proposed isn't just throwing state money at the problem. It's this, well, quite carefully calibrated, mix-boosting private initiative, using democratic choice for some funding, seeding innovation with checks, and providing neutral infrastructure.
It's a thoughtful attempt to navigate between market failure and state failure. It acknowledges the market won't provide everything democracy needs, but it builds in safeguards against political capture by emphasizing decentralized choices and private validation where possible.
It really feels like a potential blueprint for other small nations, or maybe even regions within larger nations facing similar pressures.
It could be. It's tailored to Liechtenstein, but the principles have broader relevance.
There's that quote by Arthur Miller: a good newspaper is a nation talking to itself. It makes you think. When that conversation is threatened, like in Liechtenstein, by closures, by financial dependency, by potential bias, What's the collective responsibility here? It seems this proposal suggests everyone has a role: citizens through that democratic funding choice, the state through strategic support like innovation funds and the platform, and maybe private philanthropy stepping up through that alliance. How do all those pieces come together to ensure the nation can still talk to itself critically and independently?
That's the million-franc question, isn't it? How to sustain that vital conversation in a world where the economics of media are just so fundamentally challenged is something for Liechtenstein and perhaps many others to really grapple with.